Hey, what do you know? 10 o'clock, right on the nose. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him our praise and thanksgiving, for we believe that God is indeed a good God and greatly to be praised. Welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is always a pleasure to welcome you into worship this morning, wherever you may be. As we come this morning, as always, there were some announcements on the screens and in the bulletins, so I hope you've had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. A couple of things to just underscore as we set off on a new year. First, welcome to 2026, and for some of you, you know what that means. The annual report is coming up, and we are starting to look for your reports. So please make note of that. It's never too early to begin writing your annual report. You don't have to be a procrastinator like me and leave it till the day after the deadline. So make note of that. And the date didn't make it into Rob's announcement. We're hoping to have them in the last Monday, I believe, at the end of January, because Rob is going away on a trip. So if we can have most things into the church office before he leaves, the minister breathes much better. So please make note of that and start working on those things. The sanctuary has been festooned throughout the holiday season with the decorations, but we have now reached that point where it is time for the decorations to go away for another year. And you can help. The undecorating party for the sanctuary is going to take place on Thursday morning at 9:30. And if you can drop by for a short time and help with putting things back in the storage for another year, that would be wonderful. And elders are reminded of our first session meeting of 2006, which will take place next Saturday morning. Note the time, next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We will be dealing with all of those things that we have to deal with to get the year off to a good start, and we will be working on setting the budget for 2026. So that is our business for next Saturday, and we look forward to seeing all the elders there for session. The rest of the announcements I will leave for your perusal throughout the day. As we enter into worship this day, let us stand in the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship as it will appear before us on the screen. We have seen the rising star. The mystery of ages is revealed. The nations will come in wonder to sing the praise of the Lord. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, your glory shines as far as the east is from the west, from the north to the south, so that all people may see and be radiant, so that every heart might thrill and rejoice. Guide us on our baptismal journey in Christ. Overwhelm us with the joy of your presence. May we enter your house and pay homage to you, whose infant arms were already reaching out to the ends of the earth, that all might be gathered in. We pray these things in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 146 in the Book of Praise, Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn 146.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight on.
Friends in Christ, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself to redeem us all from our sin. Secure in the promise of redemption, let us draw near to the throne of God's grace as we confess our sins, saying together the prayer as it appears before us. God with us, we confess that we have not embraced your love. You have searched for us, and yet we hide from you. You have lavished us with blessings, and yet we treasure earthly things. Forgive us, loving God. Shine on us with grace and glory, and reveal to us your promise, good news of great joy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. By Christ's grace, we have become the children of God and heirs to the hope of eternal life. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God for this amazing gift to us. And as we come this day receiving God's forgiveness, we too are called to be forgiving one of another. So let us now turn to those around us and greet them with a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. And as we make our way back to our seats this morning, we prepare to sing the next hymn 161, What Child Is This? Well, Ainsley, you going to come up this morning? When I first came up this morning, I didn't see them sitting way at the back there. And then they came and they shook my hand. And then they disappeared again. And I wasn't quite sure where you were. Good morning. How are you this morning? I have a question for you. Have you ever been playing chase with a friend? Maybe your brother or your sister around the house. And have you ever been running so fast to catch them that you didn't notice something and you ran right into it? Oh, yeah, I know that. It does, doesn't it? That happens all the time. At least when we're younger. I have fewer people to chase these days. But, yeah, that's right, you know. I remember when I was, I was in elementary school. So it was grade 6, maybe grade 5. And we were at a different school. I grew up in a rural school. Some of you people are city people. So you didn't grow up in a one-room schoolhouse or a two-room schoolhouse. And some did. I grew up in a two-room schoolhouse. So we got bused sometimes to go to the library, to the bigger school that was part of the unit that we were in. And we were at this school one day, and we were out. It was lunchtime. And what do you think we were doing at lunchtime? Playing chase. Absolutely. And, of course, what do you do when you're playing chase around school and things? You run around the building, don't you? Just like if you have one of those places in your house where there's a door here and a wall in between, and you run around and around and around. That's what we were doing. We'd run around and around the school playing chase. I wasn't familiar with this school at all. And I wasn't familiar with the 2x6 that was this height that stuck out from one of the corners of the school. I wasn't familiar with it right up until the minute I ran into it. And for the rest of the day, I had a great big goose egg on my head because I was so busy watching the person I was chasing that I didn't see that 2x6 at all until I ran into it, right? We tell the story today of the wise men, the magi. And what were they following? What were they chasing? They were chasing the star, weren't they? And their job was to keep their eye on the star until it took them to where they needed to go. So they needed to focus on it. And along the way, they forgot many of the other things maybe you might have thought about as you were traveling along through the desert because they were focused on the star. And that's what we're learning about today. That's our reading up here. Reading downstairs? Or is there a downstairs? Is downstairs next week? Oh, you're going downstairs. Okay, we are going downstairs. Wait a minute. But you're going to hear this. You're going to hear the story of the star. It's Matthew chapter 2, by the way. So I want you to listen carefully to the star and what have the adventure that the wise men have as they follow the star to find Jesus. All right, because that's the story we're going to tell up here this morning. So when you get home this morning, you can tell your grandma all about what you learned about following a star downstairs. And you can ask your grandma all about what she's going to learn about following the star up here. All right? So you give her a test and see how well she pays attention to my teaching. All right. Go for class. And we'll see you afterwards. And I look forward to your hearing what you learned. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of wonder, as that ancient star rose and guided the Magi, illuminating the place where Jesus lay, so now may the light of your Holy Spirit shine in our hearts and minds as the word is read and proclaimed. Guide us again to Christ and direct us in new paths of faithfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, reading verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. And the responsive psalm is Psalm 72, reading verses 1 to 7 and 10 to 14. The words will appear on the screen. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and endure your war with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that fall on the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring their gifts.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. And reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access in boldness and confidence through faith in him.
Once more, let us join to sing the hymn 142, I Wonder as I Wander, hymn 142, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
I want you.
And this morning's gospel lesson is given to us by in the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let us listen for God's words to his people. Now, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born, the King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I also may go and bring him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For some of you, this will be a memory test. For others, this is a news story. But if you can remember 1997, you're old. We just have to come to peace with that reality. That's a long time ago. Almost 30 years. 30 years ago, in March, something significant happened. Big test. Anybody remember what happened in March of 1997 that was big and significant? There was that too. That's not what I was thinking of, though. But yes, that's right. The ice storm happened here in Eastern Ontario. I forgot about that because I wasn't living in Eastern Ontario, I guess. Part of the reason I forgot. No, there was something else. Something that people believed would change the world in March of 1997. The Hale-Bopp comet. You may have missed it because you didn't have power to listen to the radio here in Eastern Ontario. But in March of 1997, there was a comet that was going to be visible from Earth. And there were some doomsday cultists who believed that it indeed was going to be the end of the world. There's always something that's going to be the end of the world. Now, as it turned out for us, we were a little out of touch with... the day I'm thinking of, I don't think the ice storm had happened yet, because this is early March, and we were driving from Brandon to Winnipeg. Now, I've been struggling with this all week. We might have been driving from Winnipeg to Brandon, but it was night, so I'm pretty sure we were driving from Brandon to Winnipeg, because my in-laws, where we stayed when we visited family out west, lived in Winnipeg. So that was the bed. And my sister-in-law lives in Brandon. And there was a visit. And I remember driving along the Trans-Canada Highway between those two cities and watching the Hale-Bopp Comet up in the sky, because you were able to see it. It was just right above, kind of, the car as we drove along through the prairies. But at a certain point, we diverged from the comet. The comet doesn't move. It just keeps sailing along in its trajectory. But my in-laws lived off Portage Avenue, so we had to make the turn. We made the turn because we knew where we were going. The comet didn't. If you've ever taught young people how to drive, right? It's that delicate balance. Look as far ahead to the horizon as you can so that you keep the car steady and within your lane. But don't become so fixated upon the horizon that you don't see the things that are around you. Every now and then, you might have to turn. This morning, we hear the story of the Magi who are following a star, just very similar to that way that we were keeping an eye on the star on that long prairie road. And Matthew records for us that the Magi also diverted from the path of the star, didn't they? They diverted from the path that the star was taking because they thought that they too knew where they were going. And to get to their destination, they would have to veer from the path. For a moment, the Magi ignored the trajectory of Jesus' natal star and divert their course so that they end up in the city of Jerusalem. Why do they go to Jerusalem? They go to Jerusalem because power is there. Jerusalem is the place where the great Roman governor, Herod the Great, had his palace. And they thought they knew what that star in the sky meant. And the star in the sky meant for them that they must find a palace. You see, as we read the story of the wise men following the star, the Magi, the star seems a unique and perhaps a strange sign. When people are born today, they don't get stars in the sky to herald their birth. When King Charles was born back in the 1950s, there was no star to tell us that he had been born. It didn't lead anybody, the officers of the Privy Council, to Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle, where he was born. There was no report of any astronomical anomaly at all to declare his birth. But in ancient times, that's how great people were ushered in. In ancient times, natal stars were a thing. Great figures in history, great Roman generals and emperors, when their life story was recorded, it said that when they were born, a star arose in the east to signify the wonder of their birth. They got a star. not on some rock walk of fame, but in the sky, a divine proclamation that an earth-changing person had been born. And so as the Magi are traveling along through the desert journey, they're looking for something more. They know that their destination is supposed to be the great nearby city because they're searching for the next great newborn hero. They are looking for a king. The age-old patterns of declaration of newborn kings involves this star that they are following. They're sure of it. And so they take a little detour. They leave the path and go in to Jerusalem, to Herod's palace, and ask their question. Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? Because we have seen his star, and we've come to worship him. As much as we understand then why they turn and go into Jerusalem, we also then have an understanding of why we should not be surprised by Herod's reaction to the news. Herod was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, because this star was a sign that power was shifting. Herod knew that the Roman occupation of the Holy Land was not one that was well received. It was one that was tolerated by some, opposed by others, and just endured by still more. But if they discovered that things were really changing, if the citizens of Jerusalem heard that there was indeed a king of the Jews about to be born, one who fulfilled all of the promises that we find in the Old Testament and the writings of the Hebrews, one that traces his line all the way back to the lineage of David. If the people heard that that was going to happen, then quite literally, all hell would break loose for Roman authority, because power is tenuous. Of course, what we find out in Matthew's story is there's no king within Jerusalem's walls, but Bethlehem. If there was going to be a king, he would be in Bethlehem. Thus, the prophets say. And so, that would be the logical place where this new destabilizing king would be born. So, armed with Old Testament prophecy and the good wishes of the king, go and find the child and come back so I may go and worship him too. Armed with those words, the Magi set out once more to follow the star. They get back on course, recalculating. And they follow the star until it eventually comes to the place where Jesus is. And scripture tells us that they enter the house and worship him. Those who were lost, our Magi, who took a little detour, find their goal. And their goal is not found in power, but in trust in the Lord. And Matthew concludes the whole story with those words, right? They tell us that they did not return to tell Herod what had happened to them, and that the Magi returned home by another road. What are we to make of this new route that the Magi take? We know how they got to Bethlehem by following the star. They make a new route home. But what's it all about? Had the geography just slightly shifted? now that they were in Bethlehem, was it perhaps just a little bit easier to wander out into the Jordanian desert before they took that hard left turn to return back to the land of their birth in what we now know as Iran? Might that be why they did it? Did they take the new route because they didn't want to go past Jerusalem in case Herod the Great knew that they were going by and they had to return and tell him that the child had been born and what they had seen and experienced with their own eyes? Or is there something more? Is it perhaps that this new road that the Magi take is significant because it's more than just the imprints of footsteps in the sand, but it is indeed the new life that they are led to believe because of their encounter with the newborn Christ and the kingdom that he represents, that their worldview had changed, that all of those things that they thought they knew, that natal stars are born for the great and not for the humble, that power only exists when it can be imposed on others, that life is not precious when it is found in the midst of the kingdom of death. Is it that all of that has been washed away for them and that they now have had a complete change of mind? A new worldview has taken hold of their imaginations, one in which political power or military might is not the purpose of God's revelation at all, but that rather the kingdom of justice and freedom and peace is God's goal for Christ, for them, and for all of creation. I like to think it's the latter, in case you haven't figured it out yet. And likewise, for us, as we begin one more year, you know, just for throw away all the busyness, you know, the beginning of the year, house cleaning, because you get the year off to a good start, and then it's supposed to portend a good start for the rest of the year. Get out of your mind the idea that there's all this busyness that has to happen, even though the minister says that your report is due at any time. Forget all of the busyness for a moment and think of what we have just witnessed over the last several weeks. That God himself would come into our world and inspire us with a new understanding of what it means to be the people of God. That we would discover that greatness in our world is not defined by power or by the hereditary line of monarchs that live all around us, but instead is revealed to us in a child that is born humbly and yet will become great. In Christmas, we are invited to reorient ourselves once more, reorient ourselves toward Jesus. To follow the star, not expecting to find greatness, but to find service and the love of God. To find a highway that leads us out into our world to proclaim God's good news each and every day. To reach out to those who are suffering hardship and troubles, and to show them that people care because God cares. And that God's church has been knit together to be God's instrument of reconciliation, drawing nations and people together. These are the things that we are invited to discover over the next several weeks and years as we seek to follow God's leading, always looking for a star that will lead us somewhere that will probably surprise us. And knowing that while we may feel lost, that it is only as we trust in God that we will be truly found. Thanks be to God for his goodwill to us this day and this year. And may we be inspired to greater acts of love and kindness as we move out into the world. Amen. The affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the great catechisms of the church, not the one that most of us as Presbyterians would have memorized as children in Sunday school, but a very fine catechism indeed, held in high esteem by our friends in the other Reformed traditions. And we read this morning from question 34 of the catechism. I will ask you the question, and I invite you to respond with the words that will appear before you on the screen. Why do you call Jesus our Lord? Because not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and the tyranny of the devil, and has brought us, body and soul, to be his very own. Amen. From the fullness of God, we have all received grace upon grace. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present now our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Though we are least among the saints, O God, still you have given us the gift of your grace, that we might share with others the boundless riches of Christ and the resources of this world that we hold in trust from you. Receive now, we ask, all that we give today. Use these offerings and use us for your plans and purposes in this community and around the world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of glory, we seek your glory, the richness that transforms our drabness into color and brightens our dullness with vibrant light. For you are wonder and joy at the heart of all of life. We stand in awe this day as the sunlight glints upon the snow, each flake uniquely designed by your vast imagination, or as the frost traces its intricate patterns across the glass. How wonderful is your creation! From the smallest particle to the most majestic mountain, you have called each into being. God of incense, we offer up to you our prayers, spoken and unspeakable longings, our questionings for truth, our searching for your mystery deep within all things. We give you thanks that we can gather this day to hear your word and wonder at all that you have done to redeem us from our sin. We thank you for this community of faith in which faith is fostered. New insights into your glory and grandeur are explored. We thank you for your church around the world, proclaiming good news to the captive and freedom to those who are oppressed. May the hope of your gospel dwell in our hearts and ring forth into our community. Prepare the hearts of many to hear your good news and to be changed by the revelation of your love. God of myrrh, we cry out to you in our suffering, the pain of all of our rejections and bereavements, our baffled despair at undeserved suffering, our rage at continuing injustice. We pray this day for those with physical conditions which require medical intervention, and for those who bear the burdens of chronic fatigue or pain. We pray for those who are undergoing treatments or awaiting a diagnosis. And we pray for those who have lost someone they love during this Christmas season. Be present with them. Make them aware of your presence, walking alongside of them in their pain, and assure them of the hope of the gospel, that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, death itself has been defeated, and we have been fit to dwell with you. We pray for troubled countries and peoples around the world, for those in the midst of the ancient conflicts in the Middle East, for those embattled in war in Ukraine, and especially this day for the people of Venezuela who have suffered under unjust rule for so long, and who today face the uncertainty of military occupation and exploitation of their nation for natural resources. Make us mindful that Jesus was born to be the Prince of Peace, and that your kingdom bears the hallmarks of justice and righteousness. Make us mindful of our high calling to be your ambassadors to the world, holding forth your vision of peace in all the corners of this earth darkened by war and suffering. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory this day and forevermore. Hear us now as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 172 in the Book of Praise. As with gladness, men of old, hymn 172, or as it appears before you on the screens. Now let us go from this place, following the star, seeking Christ's light. Let us kneel before him, offering the treasures of our lives and sharing with others the treasures of Christ, light in our darkness. And may the love of God uphold you, the light of Christ guide you, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit give you joy and peace this day and forevermore. Amen.